This is the Photography Podcast on photography.ca, episode number 57, interview with fine art photographer Phil Borges. Hey there, photo lovers. How's it going? And welcome to the 57th Photography Podcast on photography.ca. My name is Marco. And as usual, we're coming to you from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. And we're actually recording this intro in Parc La Fontaine. For today's show, we have an interview with Phil Borges, who is a fine art photographer, an excellent fine art photographer. And I interviewed him at the Photo Expo in New York a couple of weeks back. That Photo Expo is amazing. Unbelievable conferences and unbelievable products that you could see all under one roof. So I do recommend to listeners to check out photography trade shows and things like that, because that's how you learn about new products and new techniques. There were all kinds of conferences on using Lightroom and Photoshop. So it's absolutely a worthwhile thing to do in the future. I saw all kinds of new products there, especially all kinds of new papers that you can put in your inkjet printers and get fantastic results. So I'm going to be doing a bunch of podcasts on some of the things that I learned there in the near future. Before we get into the actual interview, I'd like to thank Jen, Stephen K., who is GatePC on the forum, Clusty, JD, and Susan for their comments on podcast number 56, where we talked about how to photograph smoke. I really enjoyed doing that podcast. It was a real creative one, and I'd like to do more creative stuff in the future as well, so stay tuned. I have lots of ideas for that. Our bulletin board is also getting busier and busier, and I really like that, and I encourage people to join and post and get feedback and ask questions. Anyone that likes photography, be they an absolute amateur to an absolute pro, is absolutely welcome on the forum, and we learn and we share, and that's how the forum is growing. So I'd like to thank D-Magic, W. Dawson, Lisa Scott, B. Loveless, Soft Serve Co., Dwayne, Sarto1221, L., J. Mayoff, KR Photogs, Jason Hightower, Ohm Hubbard, AO Photo, Amaranth, Barbie Pearl, Jill Katrina, Johnny Matthew, Japes, F. Sendel, Mike Gilbeau, Jackie55, and Davis125 for posting a couple of times on the forum since our last podcast. As always, we love comments and feedback, and you can do it on the blog, photography.ca/blog. You can make your way to the forums on photography.ca, or you can always send me emails, photography.ca@gmail.com, and it's my pleasure to answer and get suggestions and critiques. So let's get right into that interview now with Phil Borges. I hope you enjoy it. We did record it in a room where there were other people, so you may hear some extraneous noises, especially at the end as the room filled up, but hopefully it won't be too distracting for you. So let's just get right into that interview now. So I'd like to welcome a very special guest to our podcast today. Our guest is Phil Borges. Phil Borges is a fine art photographer. I'm absolutely lucky enough to have seen some of his work in person. It's fab. I really think you're going to appreciate this interview. So I'd like to introduce Phil Borges. Hi, Phil. Welcome to our podcast.
Well, thank you for having me here, Marco.
It's such a pleasure. It's such a pleasure. So let's get right into it right away. I know people love to know where people come from and a little bit about their gear. So if you're able to, can you tell us a little bit about your background, your biography, and maybe some of the gear that you use?
Well, background. How deep do you want to go here? When I started taking photographs?
Yeah,
I started. You know, this is my second career. I was an orthodontist for 18 years. And I, when I was in dental school in San Francisco in the late 60s, I lived in the middle of the Haight-Ashbury district. I don't know if your listeners know anything about that, but it was a very colorful time in San Francisco during the hippie revolution. And I was given the job of interviewing people on the street and asking them about their drug use for a sociologist. I had a work-study job doing this. So I would pick these people that just randomly off the street and start to interview them. And after the interview, the people I picked were so freaky looking and so different at the time that I wanted to do portraits of them. I got a little Minolta SRT 101 and started doing portraits of these people. So that's when I first really started doing photography. And then I graduated from school. I went out, set up my practice, and that was a full-time occupied. I'm a one-track person, so that occupied me full-time. And I really didn't do any photography for about 18 years. It was amazing. But, you know, I'd take my camera once in a while when I'd go on a vacation, but mostly I wouldn't. And then my son was born. He's 23 years old now, and I took out that old camera to take a shot of the birth and record that. And I shot it in black and white. I didn't have a place to develop the film, so I checked into a local community college and just to use their dark room, you know. They said, okay, you're going to have to take this class to use the dark room. And I said, oh, God, oh, well, okay, yeah. And I ended up getting this incredibly inspirational instructor. And then I took another class, and then I took another class. And before I knew it, I was so in love with photography that I decided to quit my practice and do this full time, move to another town where I couldn't practice. And here I am.
Wow. And I first noticed your work, and I know that you've done work before that, but I first noticed your Tibetan portraits. That's where I first actually fell in love with your work. I'm a big fan of selective colorization, and I know that some of those Tibetan portraits are selectively colorized. And if you go to the show notes, you're going to see a few of Phil's photos. He's been gracious enough to let us show them to you. But I actually wanted to talk about that for a little bit. How did you develop that style of selectively hand coloring images, or selectively toning images, rather? And I'll let you explain it.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say one thing about this instructor that he had me do that was very valuable to me in finding my style. First of all, he said, start looking in magazines and rip out those images that really turn you on, that speak to you, and put them on a bulletin board in your house somewhere that you see them every single day. And so I did this, and the images that started popping up were all people. There was no landscape, so I knew I was a people guy.
So right there, that kind of leads you in a certain direction.
Exactly. And secondly, they were all black and white. They were all pretty dramatically lit. It was like Mapplethorpe, Avedon, Irving Penn. You know, these were the guys that that their work really spoke to me. So anyway, I really started getting into black and white. No, I started just lighting very, you know, in the studio. I started doing very directional light and learned how to light. And I was wanting to take a class from a guy that was doing a lot of hand coloring. He was doing album covers, and he was giving a class in the Bay Area. I lived in San Francisco at the time. And so I went to his class. And another class came up, so I had to give my ticket to go to his class to somebody else, and that person went to the class. And I said, he came back, I said, what'd you learn from the guy? And he said, well, he's taking these friskets and he's putting them on his prints, and he's painting with these liquid friskets, and then he's toning his prints, and he's coloring with Marshall color. Anyway, I had always wanted to take the black and white into a slightly different direction. I wanted to give it a little bit of color. I'd always wanted, and I'd played around with Marshall oils and that sort of thing. And so I started just playing around and using these friskets and with different toners, chemical toners.
I'm just going to interrupt you for a sec, Phil. For those people that may not know what frisket is, it's the old school way of masking a photograph. You had this opaque substance, and you would put it on the areas that you wanted to hide. And when you drop that full print into a toning bath, the place that had the frisket on it would not receive any toner, and the place that had no frisket on it would receive the toner. Is that about right?
That's it. There's a sheet frisket that is like shelving paper. It has a sticky side and has a protective cover, and you pull off that protective cover and you can cover up large areas. And then there's a liquid frisket.
That's the one I was using, masking frisket, I think. Yeah. It was called.
Well, this stuff was called Maskoid, and it was made by a guy in a garage down in Florida. And unfortunately, I called them a couple of weeks ago. They've quit making it. Because of 9/11, it became so expensive to ship this stuff because it was considered a hazardous material. It has a lot of acetone in it. Anyway, there are other types, but this was the best, and it's gone now. So I just started playing around and toning with sepia toners. I played with different toners. It was a real fun time because I was experimenting a lot. But I came across this doing it with portraiture that seemed to work. And that became my style that I became recognized for.
And you've done a number of bodies of work with this particular style. Could you just maybe talk, you know, give the abridged version of those bodies? I know it spans many, many years, but maybe you could tell us a little bit about those bodies of work that you have become somewhat famous for, actually.
Well, it started with the Tibetan body of work, and I went on and I did. I ended up going to places that really turned me on. And I wanted to go to Tibet, so I jumped at the chance. And then I found, you know, this human rights violation going on there. So I've kind of become a social documentary photographer. And I've come in through my love of travel and my love of photography. Not that I was a social activist, but it sort of came to me because the places I go have issues, typically. The people are up against some severe odds, and I wanted to bring those issues to light. And so I've done work with Amnesty International, where I went around the world documenting various human rights violations for a book they put out on the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. When it turned 50 years old in 1998. I've done work for organizations that treat cleft palate patients around the world, you know, cleft lip and palate. You know, in our country, you never see an unoperated cleft. But in the developing world, you see them, and they're shocking when you see them. And so I did a book for an organization that sends doctors around the world to treat these people. My most recent body of work is all concerns the empowerment of women in the developing world. Women are highly discriminated against in the developing world. People that live in Canada and the U.S., don't realize how much discrimination there is out there.
I say this on our site all the time. We're so blessed. Just to have been born in Canada or the USA is a blessing, because I've been lucky enough to travel as well in some third world countries. And the things you see there are just stuff you don't see here in your worst nightmares. So we're really blessed.
Exactly. And the thing is, women... There's 1 billion illiterate adults in the world. 2/3 of those are women. Women actually grow half the world's food, and they only own 1% of the farmland. So they don't have that much access to resources. They don't have very much of a voice in their community. Only 10% of the leaders of the world and legislators of the world, the people who make the laws, 10% are women. So they don't really have an equal voice. So anyway, I wanted to do a piece on that. So my latest body of work, which I did in my selective toned way, only now I'm doing it not with all these chemicals and Friskets, and I'm doing it all in Photoshop.
And that's actually something I wanted to talk about. How have you found the difference between doing it, let's say, manually and doing it with Photoshop in terms of both technique and in terms of satisfaction? Any difference in satisfaction level? That's a curious question that I ask people.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, my satisfaction is to get the best look I possibly can. So that was a gradual process. In the beginning, I got into digital via Photoshop. You could do things in Photoshop you could never do in the darkroom. And so I was doing my burning and dodging and contrast control and everything in Photoshop, and then outputting to a negative and then printing on silver gelatin, because there wasn't really a good output. And the digital printers in the beginning, they weren't archival. And then when they were archival, they metamerized, the prints metamerized, which means when you held the print in different lights, those pigments would shift colors. So I couldn't use them then. But the evolution of output in printers with Epson and Hewlett-Packard and Canon duking it out in the marketplace, they've just gotten better and better and better. So now the output is there. You can get a beautiful print output-wise. So the satisfaction The satisfaction comes in getting a beautiful product, and now I can get it digitally, so I'm very satisfied. I had no attachment to have to paint with those friskets, breathing the acetone, dipping my fingers in the sepia, getting away from the chemicals, no problem. Getting out of the dark room, no problem. Well, there was something about the dark room, you know. The dark room was just a little sanctuary you went into, and everybody else was shut out. The rest of the world was shut out, and you were in there with your music, and there was something about that. I could do the same thing with a computer, but I don't. But I don't miss any of the chemicals, let's put it that way.
Interesting. Just out of curiosity, do you print like in your own home or home studio? Do you use inkjet printers to print your stuff now? What type of printers are you using?
Right now I'm using the Hewlett-Packard Z3100. I just was here at the show and I went upstairs and they have a 3200 now that does more things. So I always want the latest and greatest. But it's a 12-ink printer and it puts down also a gloss enhancer, which sometimes I use, sometimes I don't. That's the printer I'm using now. I'm printing on Hanamuel Fine Art Photo Rag Bright White. That's the paper I choose to use right now. But the papers are just evolving so fast. So I've got to get upstairs and look at what's new this year, you know?
I'm going to let you go in 2 minutes, Phil. I got one last question for you. I know that in most of your photographs, you'd rather tone the foreground principal subject. This is my own curious mind going to work here. Have you ever considered doing the reverse, where you leave the foreground subject monotone and you tone the background subject? Just curious about that.
Yeah. No, I did try that. I did try that, and they ended up looking like ghosts, so I didn't do that very much. But I do now tone the foreground, and I tone this background slightly. And I do it selectively. I leave some parts of the image completely neutral, monotone, and I'll put a slight amount of toning in certain areas, and on the skin I'll do a lot more toning. Yeah.
Excellent. And like I said, we are going to put a few images in the show notes so people can, you know, accord what Phil is saying with this actual podcast. If people want to see your work, they can go to philborges.com. They can also see your work in exhibitions around the world. You have an exhibition going on right now. Where can people see your work? We have listeners in different parts of the world. If they wanted to see something up close, is there places where they could see your work directly?
Yeah. Well, right now I've got a show in Cape Town. I've got a show, I think it's in Munich. It's either in Munich or Berlin, on the way to Berlin. I've got one in Italy, in Milan. I've got a show right now in, just left Chicago, and it's on its way to, I think it's going to Arkansas.
Oh, okay, excellent.
In the U.S. right now, I have one coming up in Palm Springs at a women's conference down there. My Women Empowered show. I've got one in San Francisco. The Tibetan show's in San Francisco right now.
Which I've seen, and I recommend you go see if you're from the San Francisco area.
Yeah. But all these are listed on my website.
Excellent. So if people do want to see Phil's work up close, and it is a treat to see it up close, trust me, I have, do go to Phil's website, philborges.com. I would very much like to thank Phil for this podcast interview. It was a real treat interviewing you, and maybe sometime in the near future we can do this again. Thanks so much, Phil.
I hope so, Marco. Take it easy.
Have a good day.
So I'd like to thank Phil again for that really informative interview. There's going to be links in the show notes to the printer that he uses and some of the things that he talked about during the interview. He has a feature on our site, so if you click the Fine Art Photographers link, you can see some of his photos on our site. Of course, you can also go to his own site, which is philborges.com. There's all kinds of info there, including where his exhibits are going to be shown, so I do hope that you do indeed check it out. On a personal note, I'd like to thank all the people that sent me condolences and expressions of sympathy. I unfortunately didn't get to do the entire Photo Expo show. My mom passed away while I was in New York, and it's been a really trying time for my family and myself personally. And I'd like to thank everyone that just sent me their wishes. It means a lot, and it actually helps in these times of hardship. So thanks so much, everyone.